Thank you for listening to this teaching from Forerunner Fellowship. For more teachings or to subscribe to our podcast, as well as information about our congregation, visit our website at forerunnerfellowship.org.
Friendship with God, Session 3, entitled Staying in Conversation. This is one of the most basic and important and hidden and almost entirely up to us parts of our relationship with God and of Christianity, is this idea of being in conversation with the Lord and then doing our best to have that conversation be an ongoing one, as opposed to one that has two or three stop points throughout the week. You pray at this meal, you pray at church when they tell you to. Forget that. Having a conversation with the Lord that never has to stop. And that's what we want to talk about tonight in this third part of our series, as we wrap up a series on friendship with God, is thinking about the friendship in terms of communication. Now, we've talked about this a number of times before, but I'll tell you what, if I have to die and only be known for a few phrases, I'm okay with this being one of them. And if I have to say it 10,000 times during my lifetime to get on the list of that's what I'm known for by heaven, I'm okay with it. Conversation is the basis of all relationships. And so when we're talking about our relationship with God, the most important component is that we talk to Him. The most important component of the relationship is that we talk and we learn to listen, that we hear Him speak back. Conversation, communication, talking, dialogue, it is the most important thing. Even relationships that we have on the earth with people that can't speak, there's still other forms of communication where people are able to communicate. The deaf have language. The mute have language. You can communicate in 100 different ways. It doesn't have to all be, you know, words. Communication happens non-verbally and just in our body language. We're able to communicate. The most important language that we have is our one that we can have in our head, in our heart, with Jesus, and we can do it without any limitations, without any hindrances. You could be locked in a prison cell. You could be thrown away and forgotten by men, and you could still be in conversation with the Lord. And this is just so awesome and valuable, and it is the foundation of what makes our relationship with God either stronger or weaker, is the amount of conversation or communication that we have, the building block of our relationship with Jesus. The better the communication, the stronger the relationship. And there's more than just talking. The listening is important. I can think of times in my marriage with Amy where I was doing a little too much talking and not enough listening. And the communication was not awesome, though I was doing plenty of it. There was a little bit of a hold up there because I needed to learn to listen. So a considerable part of communication is also listening. But that the communication boils down to intentionally talking to God, just being intentional about it. And so tonight we're going to look at this, just a couple of ideas that you may be familiar with, a couple of things that the scripture says about the Holy Spirit that maybe will help us enter into that conversation a little bit easier. Give us a couple of touch points, maybe some verses for you to go and spend some time looking at outside of this teaching time tonight. But the open door, if God desires relationship, and we've been looking at this in these past couple of weeks, if He desires friendship, He desires deep friendship, then there is an open door for greater intimacy with God, no matter how far we go, no matter how much we grow. I remember early in knowing the Lord and having read the Bible a little bit, there were two names that just for some reason stuck out to me, Moses and Paul. And I just for some reason thought of those two guys as guys that really, really knew God. And this question just kept coming up in my spirit, what is to keep me? In a journey of decades with Jesus, what is to keep me, little me that nobody's ever heard of, I don't know anybody, I don't know anything about anything, I know a couple of Bible verses, what is to keep little old me from knowing God better than Moses knew God? And as I read the Bible, I was constantly looking for Bible passages that would disprove that idea. And I haven't found one yet. I haven't found one yet. What would keep me from having a closer relationship with Jesus than the Apostle Paul? I cannot find a single Bible verse that says that that's not possible. In fact, all I see over and over is invitation into greater measure of intimacy and relationship with Jesus. It seems like Jesus is the one with his hand extended out to us, longing very much for friends closer than Moses and closer than Paul, but that the responsibility falls in our lap because the invitation is already there. Draw near to me. Draw near. Come closer into friendship, into intimacy. And just knowing that it's not the only thing going on in the relationship, but a significant key component to depth of knowledge of God, of intimacy, of friendship, is talking to him and learning to listen. It's communication. Staying in a conversation with Jesus. I guess a little side, hope tonight is that as a result of this teaching, that all of us would be provoked to get as close to constant communication with the Lord as we can get. You're still going to have to sleep, but you know what? You can pray real hard. We already heard some testimonies today about the Lord speaking to you when you're sleeping. While you may not be able to do a whole lot of speaking back to him, I found that the Lord hijacks me a lot of times in the night while I'm asleep. That's when he wants to have a conversation. And those will come through dreams sometimes. Sometimes he'll wake you up in the middle of the night. You just feel his presence resting on you and you need to pray. And Stevie was sharing a little bit earlier. But I want to provoke us to go wherever you're at in your walk with God. Awesome. High five. Keep going. Don't quit. Like, don't stop. Don't be satisfied. Go deeper. His hand is still as extended to you as it was from day one. Come deeper. Come with me. And I just want to provoke us because, honestly, I can't think of a better place I'd rather be than in the midst of a people who are trying to constantly talk with God and listen to God. Like, what a provoking agent that would be to me in my walk with Christ, to be surrounded by people who are trying to be in greater measure of connection to the Holy Spirit, hearing the voice of the Lord, talking to God, praying without ceasing, these kinds of concepts. Well, I mean, you guys would just make my life better. I mean, it's like, and you do, because there's so much provoking that you already do in my life because of your pursuit of Jesus. But what if, as a congregation, we took this all the more seriously and in this season said, I am going to do my absolute best to speak to God and to not cease. Talking to him all day long. You know, I'm thinking about this, and it is one of the million benefits of having a relationship with God. Every aspect of our relationship with God is super unique to a relationship with him. It's so different than our relationship with each other, our relationship with our family, our spouses, our kids. No relationship is like the relationship. There's little pieces, there's little components. But I'll tell you the one thing that I'm thinking about right now that it just blows my mind about a relationship with God. He is the only one who you could even feasibly have continual conversation with. Everybody else is going to go to the grocery store, take a nap, go home, leave the room, something. God never leaves the room. He never takes a nap. He has no need for Kroger. The Lord is constantly available to us. He's constantly there. That is so unlike everything else. I mean, even air isn't constantly there if you go under the water. I mean, it's like air is everywhere, but you go underwater and there's no air. I mean, you can't breathe it anyway. But God is constantly there. He's never leaving the room. I mean, when you are doing the thing you should not do, he's right there. When you're trying to engage him, he's right there. When you're asleep, he's right there. He's so close. I mean, this is like a really interesting challenge because of 1 Thessalonians 5:16 through 18. Now, you've heard me talk on this before from its corporate application that the book of 1 Thessalonians, as all the epistles, were written to congregations or to groups of the church. And so, therefore, the primary way to express these verses was actually as a corporate people. But just think about the challenge here. Just allow you to take this as a personal challenge as an individual. Rejoice always. Rejoice to the Lord. Pray continually. Pray to the Lord. Give thanks in all circumstances. Give thanks in all circumstances to the Lord. For this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. This idea of a constant communication, the rejoicing is, God, you did it! It's awesome! I mean, you're directing your rejoicing at God, not at your shoe or your dog. I mean, it's rejoice to the Lord. He's the one that did it. God, yeah! Rejoice always. Pray continually. Oh, Lord, help. Help me fix this thing. Lord, reveal yourself. Lord, show that person. Lord, conversation, prayer. And then the last one, give thanks in all circumstances. And Lord, thank you for this stuff that you're doing. Thank you for these things. Thank you for the car accidents I didn't get in today. Thank you for, you know, the poisoned food I didn't eat. Thank you, Lord, for the bad smells I didn't smell. I mean, I'll just, all the different things. Just thank you. Thank you. A life filled with intentional dialogue between an individual and God. And look at this. I think about the omnipresence of God, the he's always there concept, he never leaves the room idea, and he wants relationship. So try to find some biblical version of what I'm about to express. So God is this like eager, antsy, like not needy, but kind of almost needy, like wanting to be in relationship person. He's just there, like smiling really big at you. Like, huh? You want to talk to me? Yeah. Huh? Like fawning over you. Like, don't you, come on, just let's talk. Let's talk. Constantly, constantly there. His desire is one longing for deep relationship. He is constantly in the mode of trying to engage us and wanting for us to speak back and to engage him. Now, with that in mind, as part of the character, part of the nature, part of the unchangeableness of God, he's always that way at all times. He has Paul write this Bible verse. It's God's will for you to always talk to him. He's always ready, always listening. He's always 6 inches away from your face with a smile 10 miles wide, listening, waiting, seeking that you would engage him. He's always in that mode. And it's his will for you that you would always be in dialogue with him. Thanksgiving, prayer, rejoicing, intercession. I mean, you pick it. Just talking to God. It's not living life. It's living life with him. It's not just making it through your day. It's he's with you in your day. Talk to him about your day. Talk to him about the thing that just happened, about the thing in your heart, about the thing that person's going through. Talk to him. He just can't wait. He's so eager. I just see him, just big, smiley God. So close to us, seeking us. Wanting to engage us, wanting for us to speak to him. So Paul says, this is God's will for you in Christ. You're in Christ now? You have a relationship with Jesus? Let me tell you the will of God, that you would rejoice always, pray continually, and give thanks to God in all circumstances. It's this invitation into constant conversation. Whoa, awesome. Awesome, because you can't have that sort of conversation with anybody else. But you never have to stop, or you only have to have brief pauses. And even if a brief pause is, you know, 8 hours of sleep, it's like, that's a brief pause. You wake up, start over, you know? I mean, a brief pause throughout the day, you're having a conversation with a person, you get right back in that conversation with the Lord. Person's talking, you're asking, Lord, how do they really feel about that thing they just said? Wait, I mean, there's no need for extended pauses. I mean, for days, weeks, the conversation, you can start a conversation right now that never has to stop ever, literally ever. You can start that conversation. You can't do that with anything else in your whole life. I mean, you can't start any other conversation. You can't start any other work. There's nothing else that you can like start and it just keeps on going and going and going. But a conversation with the Lord, you can. And the more that we talk with him, the stronger the communication, the stronger the relationship, the better that communication. I love this. I love that he invented this. He invented the idea of the ability to dialogue with him, to be in communication with him all day for decades until you die. And when you die, it doesn't stop. It gets upgraded. He invented this. This is a man who loves relationship. This is a guy who is all about deep friendship. He created this system. I mean, a God that wants to be left alone would have, like, thrown prayer out of the equation or made prayer about duty instead of about relationship. God made it all about relationship. I want to know what you're thankful for. Give thanks to me. Just make up something. Be thankful. I want to know what you're rejoicing about. I want to know what aches your heart. I just want you to talk to me. I want you to see if I'll give you more information about the birds and the trees and life and air. I just talk to me. I made it all. I can dialogue with you and give you understanding about all things. That's a verse in John 16 that says, the Spirit of truth will lead us into all truth. He will show us all things. I mean, science wasn't created by people. God invented science and the study of all things. He knows more about atoms and ions and whatever else is than anybody. He knows way more than all the books and the professors and the universities. He knows it all. He knows it all. And he wants us to be in conversation. I just am so grateful, in awe, shocked, embarrassed about my own lacking on this point, when I think about a God who has designed a relationship so unique to give the capacity to start conversation and never have to stop it. That's so unique. It's unlike anything else we have. And to know that is the beginning point. Then comes the response. Then comes our hearts responding to that knowledge instead of just going, neat. Lord, you sure are neat. Like, instead, that our hearts would be provoked, that we would reach out to him. Well, what's the promise for those who do? For those that would cry out more, those who would seek him more, who would talk to him more, who would rejoice to him more, pray to him more. What is the response when we engage him? You know, this verse that we just read in 1 Thessalonians doesn't tell us what the other end of the conversation looks like. It just says, you have a conversation with God, a conversation about rejoicing, praying continually about any and all things, about giving thanks in all of your circumstances. You do your part, but this verse, at least this one, doesn't tell us the other side of the equation. What's the other side of the equation? The other side of the equation is Proverbs 8:33 and Isaiah 30. Look at this. Listen to my instruction and be wise. Blessed are those who listen to me, watching daily at my doors, waiting at my doorway. For those who find me find life and receive favor from the Lord. We'll read this Isaiah verse, and I'll put the two ideas together. The Lord longs to be gracious to you. He longs for it. Therefore, he will rise and show you compassion. Blessed are those who wait for him. There it is again, watching, waiting at his doors. Blessed are those who wait for him. How gracious he will be with you when you cry for help. As soon as he hears, he will answer you. Whether you turn to the right or to the left, your ears will hear a voice behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it. The promise for those who will have a conversation with the Lord, who will talk with him, who will then listen for him, who will engage him. I love what this the passage in Proverbs 8 says. It says, watching daily at his doors. It doesn't mean showing up at 8 a.m. every day and then coming back the next day at 8. It's this idea of a constant lifestyle routines. It's this idea of a constant engagement. You know, waiting daily at the doors for the Lord to speak. Those that will wait on the Lord daily, those that will watch for him. It says in the Isaiah 30 verse, those who wait for him, those who are waiting for him, listening, speaking, engaging him. It says they will find life and receive favor. They will be blessed. Both passages say they will be blessed. It says he will hear you when you talk to him and he will answer you. He'll speak. As soon as he hears, he'll answer. He'll respond. Whether you turn to the right or to the left, he'll give you instruction about what to do. You'll hear a voice behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it. I'm just in love with a God who would invite us to talk to him, who then says he will talk back to us and lead us in the ways of life. Just as a personal testimony, many of you can probably attest, I think sometimes my ears are a little clogged up. I think sometimes my hearer is a little faulty. I don't fault God. I think sometimes my hearer, my listening ability, I think sometimes is a little blocking the situation. But I can tell you this, even in the seasons where I don't feel like I'm hearing everything I want to hear. Lord, I'm asking you about this thing, and I'm asking you about this thing, and I don't feel like you're answering me. In those seasons, I'm asking about hundreds of things, all different types of things. I'm talking to him. I'm worshiping him in times of worship. I cannot in any season say that I have not felt the Lord respond in some way. Maybe not in the way I wanted, but if you can get God, the King of all kings, to even look at you, to respond to you in any way, that is a massive victory. I'm looking at this, this is how I think, in a term of ratios. Let's say, if there was such a thing as God being in a not talking mood, okay? Let's say those seasons where the Lord turns the volume down, and he does that from time to time to cause us to really draw near. Maybe he's unwilling to answer 10 out of 10 questions. Maybe he's only willing to answer 1 out of 10. So ask him 100, and you'll hear 10 times. Maybe out of those times where you're trying to press in worship and really connect with his heart, maybe you're only going to be able to like feel his presence 1 out of 10 times. Press in 100 times. Encounter the Lord 10 times out of 100. I mean, really, when we're talking about the idea of doing this constantly, pray continually, give thanks always, you know, in all circumstances, rejoice, all these different kinds of things. If you're looking at it really from a lifestyle, we really shouldn't even be keeping track of how many times God spoke, responded, gave us the warm fuzzies, you know, did something in our life. We should just be in constant communication with him, expecting I'm going to continue to reach to God, and I'm going to know he is going to respond to me. And his response, because he talks so differently than how you and I talk, he talks in circumstances, he talks through other people, he talks through dreams, he talks through impressions, he talks in so many ways. If we can just engage him and know that our responsibility, the will of God for our life, is to engage him and to have that conversation constantly, then we can know he will respond. It says, he will answer you. He will answer you. And the Bible is true. Just keep reaching. Keep talking to him. He didn't answer yet? Keep reaching. The Bible says he will answer you. One of the other parts of the journey that I'm stoked about, I just think is so cool, is God's relational bandwidth. He just has no end to how much relationship he can have with how many millions or billions, or even if the population were to increase into trillions, he has no end to his capacity to give unique, specific, I mean, fine-tuned you responses to you instead of responses to humanity. Doesn't matter what their personality is like, doesn't matter, you know, where they're at in life, doesn't matter how old they are, doesn't matter their gender. When they talk to me, I just respond the same way. That's not God at all. God responds to you. To you. He responds to you in all of your you-ness. He knows your gender, age, history, likes, dislikes, personality. He created that personality. There is no such thing as a defective personality. God is the one that invented them all. From the very creation, from the beginning of before anything was, he had, I'm just making this part up, but it's something close to this. We'll get the theology right when we get upstairs. He had all the personalities all lined up, even before there was ever a first person. He knew, well, I'm going to do one like this, and I'm going to do it like this. Oh, this one's going to be awesome. I'm going to make this one this way. I'm going to make this one this way, and this one this way, and this one this way. And he's made every single person different throughout all of the ages. How could you even do that? And then to have a unique relationship with that individual that is unique to the genetics, the DNA, and the personality that God made that person to be. He knows each of us, and he interacts with each of us just the way we are. I think about Cherish and Luke, and I love them both, but those are some different people. Cherish and Luke are not the same person. Those people are different. And the Lord speaks to cherish in ways that are so cherish. Animals and sweet and funny little things. And I'm just like, it's so funny. And then you hear it, and you're like, that is so right. And that is so not how God would speak to me, because I wouldn't even understand any of that. And then it's like, but then Luke, the Lord will speak to Luke, and it's not at all how he speaks to cherish. The Lord just speaks a completely different way to Luke about guns and manly stuff and just, you know, just being a Neanderthal. I love Luke. Like, the Lord speaks to Luke that is so just concretely Luke, you know, and it's so different. And I'm like, I get it a little bit better, but that's still not how the Lord speaks to me. The Lord speaks to me different. I just, how can he even be that creative? I mean, he's like the perfect friend that like always says it just right, you know, always has that perfect little, you know, comeback, you know, that quick little wit that's just so you, you know, those inside jokes. I love the Lord. I'm so amazed by him. And each one of you, I mean, if, you know, we went down the list and talked about the way that the Lord speaks to you, responds to you, it's so unique because it's so you. And while we can kind of all get it a little bit, it wasn't made for us. It was designed for you. I was thinking one day, I don't know, I was on a road trip or something. And I wasn't so far out of town. I don't remember where it was. I just remember I was like, Lord, oh, I just need you. I don't know, guys, this is going to be a goofy story. I'm just pre-apologize. I was like, Lord, I just need you to like talk to me. I'm hungry. I want Taco Bueno. Show me where a Taco Bueno is. And I heard the Holy Spirit say, exit now. And I've been looking for a Taco Bueno, not in a conversation with the Lord about, hey, show me you like me. But I've just been looking for a Taco Bueno for, I don't know, 15, 20 miles. I just wanted a Bueno. I wanted a Bueno burrito. I wanted one. And so I'm just like, Lord, I'm kind of frustrated. Like, just show me how much you like me. Show me where a Taco Bueno is. And in that moment, I just heard him say, exit now. And I exited out. And two things that were awesome. One, it was the exit I needed to exit anyway that I was probably about to miss. And I'm like, oh, Lord, this is the exit I needed. Like, that's great. And right there on the corner, on the side of the street I needed it to be on so that I wouldn't even have to turn around, there's a Taco Bueno. And I was just like, Lord, yeah. Taco Bueno. I mean, it's like, that probably doesn't minister to you at all. It wasn't for you. The burrito was my burrito. That was the best darn burrito I ever had. Lord likes me burrito. That's what the name of that burrito was. And I just loved it. I'm like, you speak to us, not just, I mean, that's so me, because I like bad food. I mean, I do. And so that was just so me, but it was also like the Lord ministering, not to humanity, he was ministering to hungry Brad. Like, he knew me in the moment. Like, you're hungry. I'm hungry. I want Taco Bueno. He gave me Taco Bueno. I mean, it's just so crazy. The Lord knows us. He wants such intimacy and friendship and communion with each one of us. I just love it. Well, what this means about him is that this friend is willing to come to our level. I mean, come down so low to have a conversation with a redhead about a burrito. I mean, guys, that's pretty low. To come so low, and he does it so joyfully. He doesn't think of it as, oh, this is beneath me, subject. I will not talk with you about your dining preferences of Bueno burritos. He like, I just imagine him 6 inches from my face, 10-mile wide smile. You want Taco Bueno? Me too. Let's do it. Awesome. I know where one is. Exit now. I mean, the Lord is just so kind. He just loves us so deep. He just wants us to engage him, and that's the key. Choosing communication. You know, I think most of us in the room, I'm like, I mean, I know you guys. You're not like intentionally not talking to God. I mean, there's not a one of you in the room that's like, nope, I don't believe in talking to God. Not going to do it. Can't make me. That's not in the Bible. None of you are there. I mean, that's not your MO. I think we just get careless. I think we get distracted. We just stop. I mean, it wasn't like we woke up going, I'm going to stop talking to God today. We just got busy and careless and I want to be less careless. I want to be more intentional. Think about the things in life that take us away from our devotion to Jesus. You know, devotion, conversation, just thanksgiving, rejoicing, you know, those kinds of things. Think about 2 Corinthians 11:3 and the warning that Paul gave the church at Corinth. He says, I'm afraid that just as Eve was deceived by the serpent's cunning, your minds may somehow be led astray from your sincere and pure devotion to Christ. We need to be careful each day. It's a reboot every day. If you can figure out a way to reboot every hour, even better. But it's a reboot every day. Wake up in the morning and let the first words out of your mouth be, good morning, Lord. Good morning, Holy Spirit. Let's start the conversation. Oh, man, there are some groggy ways to get my shoes in the morning at 4:15 every morning. Good morning, Lord. Hi. I mean, I think I've called him weird names before. Like, good morning, shoe. No, you're not shoe. You're God. You're God. Good morning, Lord. You know, let a reboot happen every morning when you wake up. Again, if you can do better than every day, you can do an hour every 5 minutes, great. To not allow our minds to slip from this invitation, this constant invitation, this will of God for our lives, that we would be in constant communication with the Lord. That our minds would somehow be led astray. I think our minds are led astray not so much by the most evil things. I mean, you guys have done a pretty good job of lining your lives up to love Jesus. But the mind can still be led astray by a conversation with another person that was awesome. But let's just get back to the real thing right after. You know, with this situation, with this assignment, with this thing that you had to use your brain to do, with this nap, whatever. I mean, that somehow our minds would be led astray from pure devotion. Pure devotion. If this isn't what the Bible, if what I'm describing isn't what this Bible verse is like getting at and speaking, it's a worthy idea anyway. Like, let's press in all the more. Whatever measure of pure devotion and simple, you know, seeking of Jesus, let's just go further. Let's just get more. Let's go deeper. Let's have more than what it is. Again, whatever measure of revelation Paul had about God, let's get more. About friendship, about intimacy, about communication, about knowing God. Let's just know God even deeper, better. Let's just do it. Let's just seek God. There is no limitation. I feel like we're going to show up upstairs one day, and we're going to get to meet some of God's best friends. And there'll be people we never heard of. Sweet ones that just loved Jesus with pure and simple devotion, with such concentration on who he is, with such taking that passage about praying continually as seriously as they could, who just knew God. And we'll just be like, who are you? Like, I'm one of God's closest friends. I never heard of you. I don't care if you never heard of me. God heard of me. Why do I care if you know who I am? I don't care. I didn't do it for you. I did it for him and for me. My heart is so alive. It doesn't matter if you never heard of me. I think there's a long list of them. You don't need to be known by men to be known by God. We just gotta keep that conversation going. Because the conversation deals with everything. Stuff he wants to rebuke. Ooh. There's those moments in the conversation. You just respond. Those moments of hurt. Talk to God more than people. Just talk to God more. It doesn't mean don't talk to people. Talk to people. It's great. He created relationships. They're awesome. They're so important. They're healthy, helpful. Just talk to God more. Let God be the counselor more than a human. Talk to God. Keep the conversation going. Choose the conversation. He made it so easy for us because he put the Holy Spirit inside us. So you don't have to like book an appointment with the Christian counselor. You know, it's like a week out. Like, I got stuff right now I need to talk about. Like, the Lord, you can book an appointment right now. Just tune me out and start talking. He's in there. He put the Spirit of God, he put himself, his Spirit in us. It's the most crazy idea. How can you be in all of us and not be confused. I would be so confused if I was just in two of you. He's in all of us that love him. And he's got such relational bandwidth. Look at these verses. John 14:16 and Romans 9:1. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and to be with you forever. Be with you. The Spirit of truth. You know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. He'll be in you. So my little analogy about God being 6 inches away with a 10-mile smile, it's scarier than that. He's in you smiling. He's behind your skin. He's behind your face. He's in there smiling. The big smiley God inside of you, his Spirit in you. He's so close. He never leaves the room because he never leaves you. He goes where you go. The Spirit living in you. He lives with you. And then Jesus upgrades it. He goes, oh, get ready for scary. He lives with you. Okay, a little uncomfortable. And he will be in you. He'll be in you. Inescapable. And so easy to book an appointment. To talk, to complain, to cry, to rejoice, to intercede, to give him the puzzled emoticon. Just, huh? I don't know what's going on right now. Like, there's all the different things in life. To have the conversation, he'll be in you. Romans 9:1 says, I speak the truth in Christ. I'm not lying. My conscience confirms it in the Holy Spirit. That Paul's giving a little side note conversation point here. He says, I have a conscience. My conscience is inside of me somewhere in there. And my conscience is inside of the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit is inside of me. I can verify I am telling you the truth because my conscience is not able to lie because my conscience is in the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit is inside of me. Holy Spirit's in me. It's true. Jesus didn't lie. The Holy Spirit is with us and will be in you. And Paul goes, he's in me. He's in me. Oh, such good news. The Spirit within us. Making this conversation, this constant dialogue, even possible. Holy Spirit flowing from our inner man. Look at these verses. Talking about our inner being. Just start to imagine where the Holy Spirit dwells in there. Start to think a little ethereal. Think a little less flesh, lungs, heart, blood. Think less that. And think to just the eternal reality of your soul that God created. Look what this says, John 7 and Ephesians 3. Let anyone who's thirsty come to me and drink. And whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, rivers of living water will flow from within them. Flowing rivers, the Holy Spirit. The flowing of the river of God inside of us, in the eternalness of who we are, in our spirit man, in our inner being. By this he meant the Spirit, who those who believed in him were later to receive. Ephesians 3:16, I pray that out of his glorious riches he would strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being. The Spirit lives in your inner being, and the Spirit can strengthen you. Spirit's in there so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. Greater measure of revelation, greater measure of understanding, greater measure of intimacy, greater measure of a heart just exploding with the joy of the Lord. Holy Spirit inside of us. And that we can fellowship with him. This is what, I believe this to be the most basic interpretation of what it means to have conversation with the Lord all the time. It's to be in constant fellowship with him. Look at these verses. 2 Corinthians 13. Verse 14 in Philippians 2. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Paul praying for Corinth. He says, I pray you would be able to have sweet friendship, conversation, dialogue, interaction with the Holy Spirit. I pray that it would be sweet for you. If I can just throw in another idea, based off of so many of Paul's teachings, even the 1 Thessalonians passage in chapter 5 that we read a minute ago about pray continually, it's almost like Paul saying, I pray you'd be able to do 1 Thessalonians 5, that you would be able to pray continually and talk to God about it all. I pray you'd be able to do that really well, because if you do, you'll have sweet fellowship with the Holy Spirit. You'll be able to commune with God all day long about traffic, about scraped knees, burnt food, best friends, missed birthdays. You can talk to him about it all, that you'd have sweet, sweet fellowship with the Holy Spirit. He's talking to Philippi. He says similarly, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, any comfort from his love, any fellowship with his Spirit. I just imagine the Philippians, when they heard that, they just went this, oh yeah, the sweet fellowship of the Spirit of God. Oh, we're so grateful for sweet fellowship. You know, when God isn't doing things in your life the way you want, you can still have sweet fellowship with him. What's it worth to have all our stuff go awesome and not know God? Boo. A billionaire dies and goes to hell, no relationship with God, boo. A poor person whose name is on the short list of best friends with God, who never had anything. They are so rich, so rich. I just want to have this fellowship. I just want to increase the fellowship with God, and I just know it's up to me. It's so much up to me. It's decisions I make. It's engaging him. It's having that conversation. Dialoguing with him all day long. He just wants to talk to us. Galatians 5:25. I like the way this says it too. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Same idea. I mean, this maybe covers a different, you know, sector of our walk with God. You know, it's kind of talking about, you know, following him in obedience, but just imagining that this life is the dance within. The Holy Spirit waltz inside our hearts. A waltz with the Holy Spirit, just keeping in step. He goes left, we go left. He dips, we dip. I mean, where he goes, we go. That the Holy Spirit keeping in step with his Spirit. He so desires that we would. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Man, just that invitation. Right now, what's his Spirit saying right now in this second? Is he saying, listen? Is he saying, tune Brad out and talk to me? Is he saying, you know, think about this thing? Is he saying that testimony that was shared earlier? Rejoice about that. Well, I mean, what's he saying? To keep in step, to go where he goes. To be right there with him, to every second of the day, be in the dance with the Spirit of God. To keep in step. I'm an awful dancer. I'm so awful. I don't keep in step well. I get lost in the, you know, the rhythm. I'm off, and I just can't keep in step. But no matter how bad you are at natural dancing, keeping in step with the Spirit of God is about listening, obeying, following, talking, trying to stay on page with him. This incredible invitation. I'll give you three verses to meditate on and we'll close out. The scripture is filled with God deferring glory. Jesus glorifying the Father glorifying the Son, the Holy Spirit glorifying the Son, Jesus drawing attention to the Holy Spirit. I mean, it's just this great language of love, even within the Trinity, of them deferring glory and even showing preference to the other. It's just really, really cool. And one of the cool things that the scripture does is talk about the Holy Spirit and glorify him and speak about him in ways that are just awesome and unique. And I think these three things that we'll look at, looking at him, seeing him as a bright light, as a fire, and as a river, looking at these three ideas, the Holy Spirit being brightness that we can feel in our spirit, the Holy Spirit being a fire that burns in our spirit, and the Holy Spirit being a river that flows through our spirit. I think these three ideas and these three scriptures that I'll give you might help you fellowship with the Holy Spirit a little more. Might help you see moments in your life where you can encounter the Lord in one of these three ways. John 1:5 says, "The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it." Seeing the Holy Spirit as a light that shines into the darkness of our souls. Seeing him as the one that brings revelation. You have an aha moment. It was the Holy Spirit. Fellowship with him about the aha moment. That Bible verse finally made sense. Oh, Lord, yes! Holy Spirit, thank you for pulling back the veil, for shining light in that area of my soul. Thank you, Holy Spirit. He's a consuming fire. Luke 24:32. And they asked each other, "Were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us?" I know many of you have had encounters with the Lord where you encountered him like a fire. He was burning within you. Jeremiah talked about the Spirit of God, the word of the Lord, burning in his bones, wanting out. That Holy Spirit, that burning, the burning over sin, the burning over even sin in our culture that would cause you to intercede, the burning of the Holy Spirit just speaking something to you. I've had a couple of times in my life where the Lord was like a fire within giving me a commission, commissioning me to something. I just feeling it. You wouldn't call it light and fluffy. It was like fire. It was like, oh, this is pretty intense. The Holy Spirit leading, speaking. And then finally, that John 7 passage we read a minute ago, "Let anyone who is thirsty come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, rivers of living water will flow from within him." Times in worship where you just feel like something's flowing from deep within out of you. Like, you just feel the flowing of the river of God, the flow of the Spirit. Just take those moments. Oh, Spirit of God, I love you. Thank you. See, when you feel him like a light, like a fire, or like a river, or pick a like, when you feel him, it's him talking. It's him speaking back. The way he talks to us isn't exactly like the way that we talk to each other. I have a conversation with you. I ask you a question. I'm really, really hoping you open your mouth and answer me. I say stuff to you. You say stuff to me. Sometimes the Lord does that, many times he doesn't, but it doesn't mean he doesn't talk. He comes like a wind, like a river, like a fire, like light in our inner man. It's him talking back, him speaking back. So don't limit him speaking to just you having light impressions or you hearing, you know, words in your spirit or even those dreams that we talked about. Allow the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, those moments where he engages you. And of course, we can set our lives up to have a whole lot more encounter with God by being all about the continual conversation. Talk to him all the time. Talk to him all day long, those little moments, long car rides, intentional time sitting down and praying the word back to him. Friendship with God is about conversation. And a jealous God who so desires intimate friendship, but he won't force it on us. He's looking for us to dialogue with him, and it's all up to you. The scary and awesome, noble part of the relationship. It's up to you. He'll throw out freebies. I'm so unengaged at times, and the Lord will just break in. But he'll break in a whole lot more if I'll have a whole lot more conversation with him. It's so much is in our hands, the depth of that relationship, the nearness of that friendship, how real of a friend he is to you or me, about our intentionality to engage him in the place of prayer.
This concludes this teaching from Forerunner Fellowship. For more information about our congregation, visit forerunnerfellowship.org. Thank you.